then we want to give you some of the word, number two. And the third thing, to move in the Spirit if there's time and if there's somebody that needs. So that's our goals, and we will do that if Lord permitting, and I know he is, and Spirit permitting, and I know he is, and praise God. Communion is a time of renewal with the Lord. We should have regular times of renewal with the Lord. Millie and I have renewal with the Lord every day. We have a Bible devotion, which we make our presentation to the Lord, and we make our declaration of who we belong to and who we want to belong to. All of those things, as I have learned for many years, is very important when you wake up in the morning, that you make it crystal clear to the spirit world where you stand and what you're here for and who you're here for. Amen? So that we will do. And if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1. No, that's not right. It's this right here. It is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. That's where we will start. So the scriptures say, if. There's 1,522 ifs in the King James translation of the Bible, which leads you to understand one thing about God. He has a great life for you if it's up to you. And your life consists of not of the choices that you have made for your life. Not what other people, when they had you for a while or this or that, but your life consists of the choices that you have made for your life. And what you want to do that's extremely important is know the word so that your life consists of your choices being made in the word of God. You cannot fail but to have your best life if you do that. It's impossible to fail if you have that, if you trust that. Let me see this guy. He is so big. I love this guy. His birthday was on my birthday. He said, "You're not taking me away from my mom, are you?" Isn't he something? You guys, look at him. Look at how big he is. He's beautiful. He's a handsome little feller. Look at him. He goes, "There's mom," and I'm leaning into mom. Oh, my gosh. He knows who his mama is and his daddy, I'm sure. But so we're going to start here, and I'm doing a series of messages which I've entitled Your Best Year This Year. Now, I'll tell you where I get that from. For the longest I can remember, Sam, who's here tonight, good to have you with us, bro, he has started every Christmas season by saying, "We're going to have the best Christmas ever." And that's got in my heart, my spirit. And then they'll say, "We're going to have the best new year ever. It's going to be the best one." And I believe that. And I believe that you can have the best year you've ever had, but it won't happen by accident. It will happen on purpose as you make certain choices in your life that are not hard. The choices that you have to make, let me tell you something about them. They're not beyond your reach or your ability. God is not asking you to do anything that you're not capable of doing. It's very important that you understand how the kingdom of God works. And I'm not saying that everybody's going to be rich and beautiful or this or that or drive a Mercedes-Benz. What I'm saying is you can have the best life that God has for you. And everybody's life is different, but it's exciting. For many years, I've had the best life that God could have for me because I've sought after it. I've sought the Lord. And have I had problems at times? All the time. But basically, I want what God has to offer me. And I say that every morning. I say this with me unless you don't agree with it. Heavenly Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I want your will to be done I do not want to be in the hands of the devil. I do not want to be in the hands of my flesh. I don't want to be in the hands of the world. I want to be in your hands, Father. That is my purpose. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're saying something right there. If you meant that, there's nothing better than you can do for yourself, because you're lining yourself up with, see, you know what's important? Moses said it at the foot of Mount Sinai when he came down from the mountain, and he had one simple question. Who is on the Lord's side? See, every day, that's the tally that's being taken all over the world. Who's on the Lord's side? Who wants the Lord's purposes for their life? Who wants to go that far? So, I'm going to start again. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life, okay, I'm talking about you enjoying your life. You know what I've learned? Even the disappointments can be enjoyed. And you know what I've learned? This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Look here. If you know God and you begin to practice the presence of God, your disappointments won't be as many as if you didn't know him and if you weren't making these commitments. But he that wants to enjoy life and see many happy days, then here's what here's the whole idea. This is the title verse for this teaching. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. You know, the word says, speak evil of no man. Well, what if it's the truth? You know what? I've spoken the truth about a lot of people. I wish I wouldn't have said the words. I wish they'd never come out of my mouth. It really had nothing to do. The good of it really has nothing to do, because you can't cover your own sin. He that tries to cover a sin will not prosper. But he that confesses and turns away from, but then we see God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he that, and everyone that loveth God is born of God, for God is love. Okay? God is love. So if you want to see good days, don't speak evil of people and cover people. You know what? Let me just be honest with you. Yeah, I think you can see that if this was easy, everybody would be doing it. But you know what? It all of a sudden, you're becoming an MMA fighter, or you're in the Marines, or you're in something where you have to be trained, see? And you have to train yourself to have God's best. And you know what? You don't even want it so you can get that. You want it because you love God. You want it for the most pure reasons. And I'm telling you, you can have it. I'm telling you that most of the time, even in my sorrows and disappointments, in my gains and my losses, I'm enjoying life. I tell people all the time, I said, I'm enjoying this stuff. There must be something wrong with me. But I enjoy being a son of the living God. Turn away from evil and do good. Now, you see what I'm showing you here? I'm showing you that this is a perpetual making the right choices. I don't hit it on the head every time, but I hit it enough. I can tell you, I love being alive, even when disappointing things happen. And you know, there's nothing I can teach you that would be the truth about not being disappointed at times. We're going to be disappointed, but it's how you go through that. If you go through it and lose it and you get disgusted. I was telling someone very close to me, I cannot remember one time that I have ever accused God. I have never, and I'm telling you, I've done some awful things. I did my best sinning after I got saved. I got saved. I was a baby when I got saved. I was 19 years old. But I'm telling you what, I love God. I love him. And I don't love him for what he can give me. I love him because of the thing that I want from him the most. I want him like Paul wanted him. Oh, that I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering, see, and in the power of his resurrection. See, I live a life like that. That's how I live. Is it always easy? No, I'm not saying that. You know what I am saying? It's always right. It's always right to make the God choices in your life. Multiple times in the day, we have to make a choice about who we're going to be. And the more times that we get up and we say, by golly, I'm going to make the right choice this time. And I'm going to make it a habit on this particular subject. I'm going to make the right choice. And as you get things like that happening in your life, you're going to be happy. You're going to have joy. Are we all going to be millionaires? No, I've always got enough to give some to somebody else. How much richer can you get than that in your life, really? How much richer do you want to be? And just being able to help somebody that you love. Amen? Well, it's just, we may not just get any further than this, but turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace. See, in the morning I started, I have learned I am a person that can be provoked into fleshly behavior. And so I try to think about where I'm going to go. I try to, as the word tells me, there's certain people I know I shouldn't be around. And I try not to be around them, and I try to be kind about it. See, I'm not trying to make waves or say, I can't be around you, you're a jerk. No, you can think that, but you don't want to say anything like that. Go and say, I got to get on the blue light special. I'll see you again. It's all good to see you. Can we do that? Couldn't we just be kind? You know, if we want kindness and good things, I think we have to give it out to others. So let's go a little further. Search for peace and work to maintain peace. You know, you can have a good day with somebody and a bad day the next. And what you want to do, you want to try to have with people, there's some certain people in your life and mine we have to contend with. We have to meet with. And he'll show you how. He'll put you in the right position. And as God sees you making right choices, the word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So don't let anybody tell you that we talk about, well, we're going to show you how to all be millionaires and all of us are going to drive Mercedes. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying, God, this is what I believe. God knows the best life for you. And he's made it clear how you can have that life if you'll make the right choices. And you know what? We all make some good choices, and some of us make more bad choices. We have to learn to try not to make those bad choices. Know your weaknesses. And if you know somebody's going to provoke you or tempt you in any way, you'd do better to stay away from them people in a kind way. And if you know something evil on a person, and every time you're tempted to tell it and you don't, God's going to bless you. So you're covering their sin. See, you can cover everybody's sin but your own. Only Jesus can cover that. Amen? Amen. All right. The eyes of the Lord, go watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those that do evil. Now, there are certain things God is not going to be a part of. He's not going to be a part of you walking in unforgiveness, and he makes it so clear of what it's going to cost you if you won't forgive. In Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody, so that your Father will forgive you. It's not that he can't, he won't. But if you will not forgive, God will not forgive you. Because you know what this life is all about? He has obligated himself to be to us a father. He is a father to us. And a father is somebody that's trying to bring out the best in his children. And the word says, if you don't correct your children, you really don't love them. You're really not helping them. That's gonna bite you in the tail end sooner or later. If you just love them so much, oh gosh, I just ain't gonna tell them that. They're just, I always told mom what I thought they needed to hear. And you know, I think that's what you got to do too. I think that's what we all have to do. But so that's our intro into this word, your best year this year. Now, let's go to Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. First, we'll be there in the King James language. That's Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. There's 42 chapters in the book of Job, and they're awesome. Chapter 19, beginning at verse 25. And this is part of you having, I want just the first few words in this verse here is going to give you a good life. Because, and I'm going to explain that. We're not going to get very far tonight. I can see that. This stuff is too rich. This is what the word says here. And this is what you got to know. And I swear to you, I don't know why. I just never forget this. I know my Redeemer is alive every day of my life. It doesn't matter what happened to me that day. I know my Redeemer is alive. And if you get that down in your heart, like Job did when he was facing the worst things, because what he said as the devil began to destroy his life, he said, the things that I was most afraid of are happening to me right now. He said, but I want you to know something. I know my Redeemer liveth. I've seen a multitude of people. Most church people can't keep that. They can't keep it. And I'm telling you, it's really important that you realize on whatever day of the week it is, whatever you heard, whoever just died, whatever you just lost, you have to be able to say in that moment, I know my Redeemer liveth. And my Redeemer shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Number two, I know my Redeemer is alive. And I know I'm going to see him. I'm going to either see him and he's going to love me and accept me, or I'm going to see him and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Look here. Don't make a mistake like that. You better get to know God. You don't want God, because what is the number one sin? Adultery? Murder? No. Depart from me. I never knew you. You know why we can do some of the things? Because we don't know him. Because we won't. There's parts of our day. Hear me now, somebody. There's parts of our day that we exclude God on. Now, what do we need to talk about? We need to talk about those days when we're excluding God in certain parts, when we want to partake of some kind of sin, or we want to show some kind of ugly to somebody, or we want to do something dishonest. It's at those times. That's what we're talking about here. This is how you have a better life. You find these things in your life, and you stop making excuses, and you say to yourself, you look in the mirror, I've got a problem with this and this and wrong thoughts and wrong deeds and wrong words. And you name them out. And you name them out to God. He that tries to cover his sin will not prosper. But he that confesses. See, what was the last thing you told God that you... That's what... If you confess it to God with the right kind of a heart. When you're saying, God, I'm telling you this. Because you put something inside of me. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be like that anymore. Help me, God. This is the very heart of every day working out your salvation with fear and trembling. My God, when we stop breathing here, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when we die, our body goes back to the earth. But our spirit, made in the image of God, John chapter 4, the Syrophoenician, he told her, God is a spirit. See, mankind is a spirit. When a person dies, their body goes back to the earth. It's really no big deal. The big deal is your spirit goes back to the one who gave it. See, hey, don't ever, everybody owes God. Why? Because he gave them life. Every person, everything that's alive on this planet, God gave the life. So he figures, you owe me. When you're born, you owe God. I learned on the streets of Chicago as a young punk to know who I owed. It was important to me that I knew who I owed. It's important to you that you know every day who you owe. Man, it don't get no bigger than I know the Lord. I owe the Lord. And after my skin, the worms destroy this body. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Or what he's saying, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see him. Rewards don't get any bigger than that. I'm going to see God. I'm going to see my Savior, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I'm going to read that in another translation. Can you all put the New Living Translation up there pretty quick? But as for me, I know my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at that thought. I could think of that and just get happy. I'm going to see God. Boy, I felt that so strong when we were doing Brandon's final service on earth. I just felt that so strong. I could feel that power coming out of that. We're going to see God. I believe Brandon's seen God. I believe he's with God. I'm preaching a message. Your best year this year. God knows where I am all the time. If I wanted to run and hide from him, according to the Psalms, there's no place I could do that. Where if I ascend up into the heavens, he's there. If I descend into the lowest parts of the earth, I was just reading something about the lowest point of the earth. There's some big thing like this here. It goes way down there. Way, way down there. He's there. Ain't no way to get, you know, many times the Lord has told me, Angelo, I want you to get this. I know where Satan is every moment of every moment. When it comes time for me to deal with him under the dispensation of grace and how grace works, we'll just take him and throw him right into the lake of fire. And that's going to be the end of that. And everybody that followed him and would not make the right choices and would not get to know me, they're going to be there with him. And tell your buddies, well, my buddies will be there. We're going to have a party in hell. I got news for you. There ain't no parties in the lake of fire. Read what it is. In the Greek language that describes the agony, the anguish, gnashing your teeth, so much pain that you gnash your teeth. You don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your word. I want you to get enough of this to feel like you've been somewhere and got something. You got to be ready every day. Why? Because we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow or not. We can confess that God's going to give us a long life. I believe in that. I do that. But ultimately, I tell God, look here, if your plan is better with me not being here after today, I'm ready. I just want what you want. That's how much I love you as I've gotten to know you. That's all I want. Whatever you think is best. And I'm not going to roll on my belly like a puppy and wet all over myself because, oh, I'm dying. You know what? That's just, look at here. It is appointed unto everybody to die, and then comes the judgment. Amen. See, it's appointed to everybody. We all going to die. You know, Elijah, he never died yet. Enoch never died yet. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, it talks about two prophets coming back to the earth. And they're going to call fire down from the sky. And everybody's going to be afraid of them. They're going to be on the streets of Jerusalem. You know what the word says? They kill them. They kill them. Why? Because it is appointed for everyone once to die. Glory be to Jesus. 3.5 days later, can't you see? All the best news teams and everything zeroed in. They won't even pick their body. The word says they won't even pick their bodies up off the street. They're so glad that they're dead. Hallelujah. With all those cameras on that we've got now, them boys are going to get back up. Just like Jesus. They're going to be raptured up out of here. When that happens, mankind on this earth ain't got very much longer to go. It's going to be wonderful. Unless you're one of those that wouldn't open the door when he knocked. Every day we've got to be willing to go in an unfamiliar direction. Every day, you know that everything, Kelly or somebody said recently, everything that happens to us, everything is for a purpose. There is no accidents. Everything, God had to allow everything. Satan said, you're bragging on this Job. He said, you got a hedge of protection around him. He said, if you just take that away, he will curse you to your face. You know, there's 42 chapters of the book of Job, and it says over and over again, in all these things, Job never sinned. See, he never did that. You know what he said? I know my Redeemer's alive. It isn't pleasant that I've suffered loss. I've been hurt by others, but I know my God's alive. I know he's keeping a record. He's keeping a record that's frighteningly exact. He knows how many tears his saints are. He knows how many tears they've cried. Let me tell you what. There's a day of vengeance for every one of them tears. The one person that you don't want to mess with their kids is God. Because you know what? You ain't nothing to God. If you tick God off, you don't ever want to do that. You don't ever, ever want to do that. And I'm telling you, the most exciting thing is to live for him. What about those seasons of waiting? He's a God of miracles. He's a God that's faithful. And the thing is, you have to realize this. You don't see what God's doing all the time. None of us do. But the Word helps us to see he's always taking care of his kids. He is always taking care of his kids. And if something unpleasant happens to you, it's because he thinks it's going to make you a better person. And he says very clearly, hey, look it, I'm the potter. Don't I have the right to do whatever I want with the clay and make it whatever I want? And then you just read about how good he is and kind he is, and you have to think about those things. Fellas, in the sound booth, you can shut that off for tonight. There's a couple of things I'm not willing to do. I'm not willing to make you late. and I'm not really willing to rush.